This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027.
Well, in typical fashion, I go away for a few days and all hell breaks loose in emerging markets. Anthea Gardner, MD of Cartesian, is in studio to help us make sense of it all. Anthea, good to see you again.
Good evening, Michael. Hi. I'm not sure it's all very sensical, but...
Well, I actually think all the market really needs is for US President Trump to stop tweeting for about a month and for the international press to stop calling this an emerging market crisis, and we'll be fine. How are you reading this?
Okay, so you are asking for the impossible. Right, we'll start with that. So there's no doubt. I mean, is it a crisis? No, but of course we are going to be under pressure. Of course you're going to see a withdrawal of funds or a running to the high-yield markets or the safer markets, less volatile markets. I think we'll get over it, though. You know, it happens. It's part of the market. So kind of sit tight and be okay with it. I think the one market probably that's under real pressure, well, two of them actually, Turkey for sure and Absolutely. Argentina. I mean, those are the two markets that are really concerning at the moment. There's a lot going on, but those seem to be under more stress for so many reasons. Turkey particularly, I think it's got more to do with kind of local issues and Erdogan that than anything else. You know, it's an interesting one because I was reading the other day that Erdogan said he doesn't describe himself or see himself as enemy of interest rates, and at the same time you almost see him wanting to take over the central bank, and markets are really not liking that, right?
A lot of cognitive dissonance in there, but we sort of try to step in and support the falling lira. It did to a degree today. I mean, it wasn't nearly as bad today as it was yesterday. I was watching from afar.
Yeah, but it's still off, what, 20% this year or something? 18-20% this year, and that's big. And, I mean, you know how you feel when the rand depreciates against the dollar and how nervous we get and what happens to our inflation. So you can imagine they put interest rates up 3% last night to 16.5%. That's a big jump, right? Cost of capital going up, it's huge. In fact, you know, Michael, that's actually, now that I think about it, it's the emerging market problem, is that we've got, and potentially South Africa as well, with the US raising interest rates, cost of capital going up, borrowing in emerging markets is astronomical because we've been so used to this cheap capital.
Yeah.
And in our case, very little growth. And that's kind of, you're setting yourself up for a bit of a perfect storm, aren't you?
Up to our eyeballs in debt, and we haven't used any of that in a very constructive manner.
Spot on.
Now, it makes our own MPC, when you talk about the Turkish central bank hiking rates by 3%, look positively dovish. They left rates unchanged today. But the tone, let's face it, is hawkish. It does look like the next move is going to be up.
Yeah, there's no doubt the tone today was hawkish. I mean, Lisette Kanyahos basically said there's a lot to do with exogenous factors, so factors coming from the outside. And I can understand that they're nervous to put interest rates, to cut interest rates in an $80 a barrel oil price, rand closer to 13 than before. It would be a stretch for them to have cut interest rates, you know, and it's a discussion we've been having for a couple of months now, because a lot of people feel, myself included, that a couple of months ago, a couple of meetings ago, that the MPC actually missed a great opportunity to cut, and they should have cut when they didn't. And then, of course, a month ago, Lisette Kanyahos said that it was just too soon to say, even though inflation was back within its target, it's just too soon to say that it's anchored at the like kind of mid-range of 3-6%. And I guess yesterday and today proved him right. Eh?
Well, exactly. You can't blame him. It was 3.8 up to 4.5 yesterday. So there's no anchoring there. And we know that the SARB likes to anchor expectations around inflation. What interested me is the oil price, because if you look at futures markets and a lot of the consensus out there, it does actually point to a moderating oil price. I've seen an average of $70 a barrel this year, 67 in 2019 and 2020, because the shale producers have managed to keep a cap on prices in the past.
Sorry, Michael, let me understand. So what surprised you about it, that you think that oil will come off
will come off, and therefore we don't have such an upside risk to the inflation forecast, and therefore he can perhaps be slightly bolder and stimulate an economy that, judging by the retailers, is in desperate need of it?
I think central bankers at the moment of and traders, in fact, are very concerned about the kind of the geopolitical situation, because we're just not sure, you know, and so anything can happen. So I'm not sure that even the shale producers can keep a lid on oil prices. Honestly, I don't.
And that's why this time around we haven't seen them able to cap the price as they have in the past. I want to move on to some of the updates today. Operational update for the first three quarters from MMI. And we've discussed it in the past, the fact that it was always going to be tough for Hilly Meyer to come back in and turn the ship around. And on the face of it, at first glance, core earnings down 5% year on year. It doesn't look like a great update for MMI.
No, it's not. It's not, I'm afraid. It seems to be a little bit of a stale company, almost. Like, that's how it comes across. You know, new business volumes really not good, and momentum 5%. Metropolitan not so bad, 9% year on year. Margins fell a little bit, relatively speaking. There's just nothing new and exciting and interesting going on in this business. That's kind of how it feels. You know, if you're looking at headline earnings falling 3% year on year and implying kind of a just over 10 times forward price earnings ratio, it seems cheap, but you have to wonder how they're going to turn it around, or what's going to be the catalyst to make it a great business, or for this business to re-rate, quite frankly.
Sometimes businesses are cheaper for a very, very good reason. Now, if you look at the disclosed embedded value, which is the way these businesses value themselves, 27 Rand a share, stock trading around 19 Rand a share, that's a hefty 30% discount. So I think that tells you all you need to know about what the market thinks of this business.
There you go. That's exactly what it is. It's market sentiment that just market does not see the great and good coming out of this in the future.
Now, I certainly don't see the great and good for retailers. Where do we start? I'm going to be chatting to the CEO designate of TFG a little bit later, Anthony Thunstrom. Let's talk about Massmart, or should we call it Messmart or Crashmart after today? Down 18%. Is it just the big box format? Is it stale? I mean, you mentioned the stale word earlier.
I think so. So many, just kind of can I give you just an example? Nothing too clever or academic, but we were talking in the office today about a friend. One of the colleagues was saying that he went to Dion Wired to buy something electrical. I can't even remember what he said, and then ended up ordering it on Takealot, and not because it was more expensive, but because his perception was that Takealot was cheaper, and because it gets delivered. And he quite likes it, and he's got the app on his phone. And we've had so many of those, and I thought, oh, actually, guess what? Because I have not been into a Makro in years, literally years. And the last kitchen appliance I bought was on Yuppie Chef, because I got a little gift voucher, because it's okay now to give women kitchen appliances for their birthday, apparently.
Well, because we're so un-PC on the show. Absolutely, Anthea.
So I think what's happening, Michael, is that what we're seeing happening in the US, more internet shopping, going for cheaper, it is coming to South Africa. It is actually happening. And then also, because the lower or middle income consumer has been under so much pressure, they just don't have spare money to buy a new TV. You know, if you don't have spare money, the last thing you do is go and buy a new TV. You save it for food, transport, education, clothing. That's kind of where it has to go, you know, the essentials, even if they are slightly cheaper. What was interesting, kind of, maybe not last year, probably the year before, was how I saw kind of the builders, the local builders of the cheaper kind of building warehouse type things. People were not buying new homes, they were renovating old homes, so putting in new toilets and tiles, and so those guys did very well, you know, the builders warehouse type retailers. So I guess we're in that tough cycle for consumers and retailers.
It's very tough out there. Anthea Gardner, MD of Cartesian Capital, with your market roundup here on Classic Business.